Luke chapter 8, verses 4 up to verse 15. Hear now the word, the very word of God. When a great crowd was gathered, people from town after town came to him. He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when Jesus asked his disciples when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest heart, honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear the word. This past week, everyone knows, about 1,000 people gathered in an arena in a small town called Humboldt. And it was packed. People came to mourn and to honor 16 hockey players that died in a tragic bus accident. And I'm not sure if you saw recordings of that vigil, but there was a pastor named Sean Brando, and he brought a message. And he tried to answer two questions that everyone was asking. The question, why and where? Why would God allow this to happen? And where was God anyway? And he was raw. In the words that he shared from his heart, he himself, being the chaplain of this hockey team, a pastor in that town. And those are questions people were asking. Why and where? And as I was watching the people responding to this message, and as he's speaking about their need, our need for Jesus, some people were listening so intently, and they were hearing. But others, it seemed as though the word was falling on deaf ears. I remember watching one girl. She heard this powerful message, and you could see her face harden. And she shook her head, refusing the words of life that were extended to her. The word was sown on that day, but do you know that millions of people heard those words, even our prime minister? And in answering some of those questions, the pastor said, why is God doing this? Well, God is on his throne, even over our leaders. So our prime minister heard this word. Millions heard this word. The word was sown and scattered abroad. And here today, the word goes out once again, as it does every Lord's Day, the good word of the Lord. It is sown. People hear the word, but people hear it in different ways, just as it was at that vigil. People hear the word in different ways. Even the time of Jesus, when he spoke these words, even Jesus, the word incarnate who spoke these words, some people heard and did not respond as they should. There's a great crowd that gathered. In the Gospel of Mark and Matthew also have the same parable of the sower. It says there's a great crowd gathered so that they filled the beach. Jesus had no room to stand, so he gets into the Sea of Galilee and he gets into a boat and he sits there and he teaches using parables. And one of the parables was this one, the parable of the sower. And after telling the parable, the disciples asked the question, why do you speak in parables? That's what he asked. They ask in Matthew, as we see in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus taught in parables, and parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And he taught in parables because he wanted to distinguish and differentiate the hearers. That's why he used parables, that some would hear as they ought and respond as they ought, and others would not. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 9, then the disciples ask another question. What is the meaning of this parable of the sower? What's the meaning? So Jesus says in verse 10, to you it has been given to know what? The secrets of the kingdom. Within the parable are the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Jesus is using parables to reveal secrets. But to some, it is concealed. The secrets of the kingdom are concealed to some, but revealed to others. It says, it is given to you. It is a gift to some. In Matthew 13, Jesus quotes from Isaiah 6, that you will hear, some of them will hear, but never understand. And you will see, but never perceive. So the word goes out, and yet people, many, still don't understand, still don't perceive. But if you have been given the eyes to see, if you have been given the understanding to perceive what Jesus is saying, that comes with what? A responsibility. Responsibility. In Matthew 13:12, it says, for the one who has more will be given. He will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. It comes with responsibility. The word goes out. It goes out and it will go out. It will fulfill God's purposes. It will not return void to God. It will do his will. But today, as you hear the word of Jesus, how will you respond to it? How will you hear it? Because how you hear it will determine what you yield. When I started training church planters in South Sudan, I told this parable as part of the training. It was a first lesson in evangelism. I wanted them to understand what happens when they sow the seed, when they scatter the seed in evangelism. The people will have different responses. Some will be hardened, actually hardened more by the word. Some will have a very shallow response, superficial response. Some will be distracted by the word, and others will be very receptive. They will receive it with joy. So here's a principle. If that is the case, that many will respond in different ways and only really one type of soil will respond in one way, then we must sow the seed abundantly, scatter it abundantly, because many will not persevere until the end. And it's the same here in your field of ministry in Russell. As you sow the seed to your friends, your family, your relatives, your neighbors, many will respond in different ways. But today, that's not the focus of our message. We want to focus on our own hearts and how we individually receive the word. What kind of soil is your heart as the word is being sown? That will determine the kind of yield that it will bring. So the question is, how are you hearing? How are you hearing the word? What kind of soil are you? The parable here has four soils that correspond with four hearers. Four soils, four hearers. The first is the path. The seed that is sown on the path, the ones who are hardened and indifferent as they hear. In verse 5, it says, a sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds came and devoured it. The farmer in the time of Jesus had a very simple work, didn't have any tractors as some of us have here, had a bag. And he would take a scoopful of seed and scatter it. Indiscriminately, it seemed, just scatter it. And some would fall on the footpath. And footpaths were formed as people were walking through the fields. And it was hardened soil. As the birds saw the seed there, they would come and devour it. And eat it and take it away. And Jesus gives the meaning of this. This kind of soil in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And that seed, verse 12, says the one along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And also in Matthew and in Mark, it speaks of those who hear the word of the kingdom. They don't understand it. Then the evil one, the devil, Satan, comes and snatches it away from the hearer so that they do not believe and are saved. This is the soil along the path. And there's another agent that we often forget, do we not, that's involved in the preaching, in the proclamation of the word of God. As we hear it, the devil is at work, interfering, seeking to snatch that word away immediately, so that we would not even respond to it. The Bible says that we should not be ignorant of Satan's schemes and devices. He is at work even here as the word goes out to you, the hearer. It's like the girl in Humboldt, as I told you, her heart, you could see just the word was coming to her and she was refusing it. She was rejecting it. She was more hardened than she was before. We don't know what that could be for you. It could be bitter circumstances in your past that have hardened your heart. So when the word comes to you, you want nothing to do with it. It comes one ear. It doesn't even maybe even get into one ear. It could be cold indifference. You're so far from God, you couldn't care less. It could be the heart is hardened by unbelief. Unbelief hardens the heart. Whatever it is, I want to tell you right now, it is unjustifiable. God is good. His word, the seed, is good. It is your own heart that is bad. It's your own heart that is hard. The problem is not the seed, it's the soil of your own heart. Remember, there was a young lady that came, that was a covenant child who used to go to the Ottawa RP Church. And one day she brought her boyfriend. And I asked him after the service, what did you think of the message and the service? He said, I don't understand. And I was a young convert myself, and I blurted out, good theology, well, it's because you're dead in your sin. You're spiritually dead. And she couldn't believe I just said that. But you know what I would say now? I would say, if your heart is hard, if you're indifferent, if your heart is cold, then pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to soften your heart, that you might be able to receive that word and truly hear it and enter in, even into your heart. The Spirit of God is yours to ask, to plead for His Spirit, to give you understanding to His word. So that's the path. And then there's the rock, the seed that is sown along the rock. On the rock. Now, this is the shallow and superficial here. The seed is sown along the rock. In verse 6 it says, some fell on the rock. As it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, the time the farmer would scatter that seed, he wouldn't see what was under the soil. But sometimes there was only an inch of soil, and underneath that there was bedrock. These are not small pebbles, but very shallow soil. So the seed would be sown, but because there's no moisture, would wither away. In Matthew 13, it says that the sun arose and scorched that plant because it had no moisture. The disciples were wanting to know the meaning, and so Jesus gave the meaning in verse 13 here. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. This is the one who hears the word, but the soil in their hearts is very shallow, very superficial, and as soon as opposition comes, any kind of testing or temptation or persecution, they fall away. They fall. They fall to it immediately. What kind of disciple do you want to be when the day of testing comes? Because I tell you, and you already know this if you've been a believer for a long time, it will come. Trials of various kinds will come. Temptations will come. Persecution will come. It's guaranteed they will come. And if you want to live a godly life, the Bible says that you will be persecuted. James says that you will have various trials of various kinds. So, we know that. But how are you going to stand on that day of trial and temptation and persecution? What do you do? Think about the plan. What does it need to do to stand? It needs to go deep, to dig their roots deep. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, we find that it's through those who trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 17. I have it right here. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream, does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the one who will stand. The time, the day, or the year of testing. Fruit comes because of a root that is healthy. Healthy roots, healthy fruits. Standing strong on the day of testing is also for those who come believing with joy. Now, it says here, the person who believed for a time, till the time of testing, they had joy, immediate joy. But this is not the joy here that we're talking about. When the scriptures speak of real joy, when James chapter 1 verse 2 says, count it all joy. How on earth can you have joy in what you're going through right now? That's the one who's trusting in the Lord. That's the joy that He gives to you as you trust in the Lord. That's the joy of the one who stands in the day of testing. And if you're in a day of testing or a time of testing right now, think about those roots. Dig them deep. Roots of faith, of trust in God. And then the fruit of joy will come. It will come. The third soil, or the kind of soil, the kind of heart, the thorns. These are the desires, the one who hears but has desires and distractions in his life. In verse 7 it says, "And some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it." So what are these thorns? In Matthew 13, also Luke here, Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "As for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked." By what? Choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Matthew 13 speaks of the cares of the world, life's worries. And then also in Matthew 13, the deceitfulness of riches. And Mark, it says, the desires of other things. And what do? They choke. They choke. We all have concerns. We have worries that somehow we legitimize as real needed worries for our cares. We have pleasures as well. We have desires. We have wants. We think that we actually are actual needs in our lives. You say our finances are tight, so I need to worry. I need to save for the money, for the future. I need to worry about that. I need to care about that. I need to get the things that I want and I think I need in my life. All of these things consume our thoughts. They distract us. These cares, they weigh us down. They begin to have a hold on our lives. The pleasures of this life, they start to choke as they crowd around. They choke and choke. Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 13 years in communist Romania for Jesus, then he came to the West and he started a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. But as he was going back in to Romania, then was free Romania, he says that he saw more people fall away in free Romania with the pleasures and the riches that came in than he saw during communist Romania and the persecution. Because of the choking of the pleasures, the desires of this world, the cares of this world that choke. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read this. "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into this world." When you're born, did you bring anything into this world? "And we cannot take anything out of this world. When you die, you bring nothing with you. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this this, the thorns, that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves, have pierced themselves. The thorns have pierced with many pangs, choking the plant, choking your life. We fill our lives with stuff. We think that it'll bring convenience, comfort, ease, and some of them are permissible. The Bible speaks of things that are permissible. But ask yourself, is it profitable for your soul? Because if it's not, it will take control of your life. It will consume you like thorns that crowd around and choke your life until there's no fruit whatsoever. So what are those thorns in your life? You know them very well. Things you worry about, things you long to have. Are they choking your life? What do you do? What do you do with thorns? When you go to your garden, you see weeds and thorns. What do? You dig them out. You cut them at the root so that you can grow. You can bear fruit. You take them out of the way. When you do it practically, you cut through repentance, then you abide those roots to go deep, abiding in Jesus and His Word by faith, and then you'll see the fruit. The fruit will come. The fourth path is, or the soil is good soil. Good soil. The one who hears the Word and holds, hears and holds fast the Word. In verse 8 it says, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he will hear, he has the ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear this soil. The seed being sown in good soil. Soil that is good. What is good soil? We have some farmers here today, I believe, in this congregation. Farmers who know the right balance of nutrients in the soil. I think some of them are nitrogen, phosphorus, I had to look it up, potassium, sodium. I'm sure there's much more in the soil that you need to put into there, fertilize it, to be good soil for the seed. It's like the heart. The various elements to the heart. And here it says in Luke chapter 8 that it is from the meaning, as Jesus describes it, is coming from a heart that is good. A good and noble and honest heart. This is the soil, the heart of a good heart. And there are four elements to this one who hears the Word and holds fast to it, the good heart. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says that it's the one who hears and understands it, who has spiritual insight into the Word. In Gospel of Mark, it says, is the one who accepts the Word, who receives it, and puts it into action, welcoming it. And then here in Luke chapter 8, it says, he holds fast to it. He holds fast. Those are those who hear the Word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. And that's the fourth element, patiently enduring, patiently persevering with it. And what is the yield? 30 or 60, and with some 100-fold. Imagine farmers having 100-fold harvest. Is that possible? That is the kind of spiritual harvest that can be born in us. Not only hearing the Word, but also holding fast to it. So as we look at these soils, really there are only two types of soils. Describing them as four, what are the two? The one who hears the Word and holds fast to it, that's the good soil, and all the other three are the ones who hear the Word and don't hold fast to it. They don't do any of these things, but they only hear. They only hear. Now, to the measure that you hear the Word and you hold fast to it is the measure that you will bear fruit. There are some who bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be 100-fold? Well, Jesus says, John 15:5, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You will bear a great harvest by holding fast to the word, but also remembering the times of temptation, standing firm through the temptation, through the persecution, and persevering with obedience to every word. Now, in hearing this message of the word, it's one of those messages that you almost need to hear regularly, or when you are just beginning to understand what the word of God is and how it's supposed to work in you, this is the message you need to hear. And the many more messages that will come to you. The temptation is that you will just add this one to the others. But this one is different. This message is different. It is teaching you how to hear the word. Have you heard that message? This parable from Jesus. That you have been given a gift to know how to hear. And with that gift comes responsibility. You have a responsibility. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, take care now. Be careful how you hear. Be careful, for the one who has more will be given. So if you have it, if you have received it, you have, and more will be given. But to the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. In South Sudan, agriculture is a very profitable business. For those who don't know why I always mention South Sudan, that's where I work, and we were missionaries there for many years. And we've seen business people profit from agriculture, but they need to be wise, need to understand how it works there, and how to hire someone. They need to hire someone who's trustworthy, who receive that word, the seed, receive the seed and sow it. Wow. So he gives money to this farmer. The businessman will give money to the farmer for the work, give seed. The farmer will go out and clear the land, sow the seed, weed, and then harvest, bring in the harvest. And the businessman will call the farmer, and he will demand his yield, the harvest, his portion of his investment. Some will only bring back what they were given. And do you think that that businessman will entrust that farmer again? That name will be written off his books of a trusted farmer. But if the farmer came back and said, this is my yield, 4 times, 10 times more than what you gave to me. Yes, he will be given more and more and more. And the last day of judgment, you and I will have to give account for every word that we have heard. Are you holding fast to every word? Every word that has come to you, with perhaps hundreds of sermons that you have heard, good messages from the Word, you and I are responsible with what we do with this Word. If you're hearing the Word like the seed that is sown along the path, you will have to give account. If you're hearing the Word that is sown along the rocks or the thorns, you will need to give account. But now that you have heard this word and you have this responsibility to hear, where's your heart? Are you receiving it as good soil in your heart? James chapter 1 says that we need to prepare our hearts. And this is what we need to do to fertilize the heart, to receive this word. And it's a work. It is a work of a farmer, even with their own hearts. Put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness, receiving with meekness the implanted word to save your souls, able to save your souls. So the word goes out. What do we do with our hearts? As we hear it, we repent. We pull out those thorns. We receive it with faith. Because repentance alone is not enough. When we believe on that word. And if you want to know what faith looks like, this is what it is. It's responding as this one who has a good heart, honest heart, who seeks to understand it. Praying for the Spirit to give insight. And receiving it, accepting it as the very Word of God. Not any word. It's not the word of man, but the very Word of God. Holding fast to it. That means retaining it, meditating on it, and putting it into action. And as you do, patiently enduring, persevering with that word implanted. It's a work. It requires the work, the sweat of our brow of repentance. But ultimately, it's simply a resting. Receiving by faith is a receiving of the word in our hearts for God to do that work in us. Can you soften your heart when it's hard as stone? Can you really pull out all those weeds? There are so many thorns that could choke our lives, but we receive that word, repentance and faith, for Jesus himself to come and make his dwelling there. Jesus, the Word of God, who became flesh, and he came to tabernacle, to dwell among us, even making his home in our hearts. That's what he came to do. Jesus, the living Word. And in 1 John 1, it says, we have heard and we have seen. Eyes have seen the Word of life. And that Word of life was manifested to us. Who is this Word? He's a person. He's the living Word. He's the Word of life. And he kept the Word. This Word that all of us would long to be able to keep, but we fail. He never failed. He kept it perfectly. The Word of his Father, he did it perfectly. When he heard the Word, he held fast to it. And then he went to the cross. He died for those who cannot keep the Word of God. Those of us who receive that Word, like everyone here, with hard hearts, with thorns in our lives to choke our lives, and yet he still has come to save us. But Jesus, who's the Lord of the harvest over all of us, is the one who sows the seed, and once again he has sown his seed today, and it is a mercy to you. Have you received it? Have you received Jesus?